You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. With me today is Duncan, who is the Vice President of Brand, Marketing, and Digital at Fiverr, with two R's, responsible for creating game-changing ideas and strategies that use technology to tell stories worth knowing. In his 30-year career, he has worked at agencies including BBH, BBDO, and Anomaly, where he worked on brands such as Adidas, Budweiser, Coca-Cola, Nike, Sephora, T-Mobile, and the New York Yankees. He also served as the VP of Marketing at Sony Music, where he created partnerships and events with brands including Unilever and Motorola, as well as artists such as Bruce Springsteen, Outkast, and Susan Boyle. Duncan has been named one of the top 10 people in advertising by The Independent and appeared on Campaign Magazine's Marketing A-List. Duncan, thank you for being here.
Wow, that's an exhausting intro. Jesus, have I done all that?
It's great. It's great. So if you look at your kind of origin story and kind of your journey to where you are today, what are maybe some of the key moments that set you up for what you do at Fiverr today?
Wow, it depends how far you want to go back. I mean, I was talking to someone recently about how do you get into marketing and advertising and stuff like that. And when you're a kid at school, and I was one of those kids who gazed out the window a lot. A guy came in to do a talk on careers, as we used to call it back then. And he was a big chap called Bob Potter. And he started talking about butter-based turkey and punch shoeshine. And it was the most engaged I'd been as a kid at school. And I don't know if it was his physique that was interesting me, what he was talking about. I didn't even realize there was a whole industry of people who made adverts, but I was captivated. And I decided on that day that that's what I wanted to do. And it was a very strange thing, given all the things you just talked about, that turkey and shoe polish should have got me here. But that was the initial little buzz in my brain that went, that seems really interesting. And then I had a career, which I was very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, working with some of the best ad agencies in the world in London, which was super competitive to get into. And I don't think the industry resembles in any way, shape or form what it was when I joined in the late 80s to a company called Grey. And then I worked at some of the best agencies in London, doing all sorts of different things. It was super fascinating. If you're lucky enough to join an industry at a period like that, you just absorb a lot of stuff, which I did. And I was lucky enough to have an opportunity in the early 2000s to leave the fantastic agency that was Bartleberg O'Hagadie, BBH, where I learned a huge amount, and launched my own agency, which was called Soul, which was fun. Our founding clients were Coca-Cola globally, which I actually thought was somebody doing a kind of a British prank on me, that Coca-Cola would be ringing us up before we even had a name. But it turned out it wasn't. It was Julia Golden, who's now the CMO of Lego. And on the heels of that, we won Budweiser, EA Sports, and Uniqlo, funny enough, which we launched in the UK. I did my own thing for a bit. And fast forwarding to getting a little frustrated with advertising, I was headhunted to go and work at Sony Music, which was, as you mentioned, as a guitar thing behind me, is one of my loves. And I realized quite quickly, having joined the music industry from decades in advertising, that I didn't think there was an industry that could make advertising look more professional. And it turned out there was. It made it kind of look like accountancy or law in comparison to music. And music at that stage was going through the throes of, pre-streaming, or in fact, Daniel Ek came and presented to us his idea for Spotify, which I thought was fascinating, and all my colleagues thought was stupid, but turns out Daniel was right. I did that for a bit, and from that segued into working with talent, and working with companies like the New York Yankees to kind of create things rather than just promote for other people. their brand. So creating a product for the New York Yankees is the first time I'd ever created physically something. And working with a girl called Lauren Luke, who I think was really one of the first influencers. She was doing makeup tutorials of how to get the look of musicians that you were kind of enamored by, I guess, for want of a better phrase. And we were funnily enough going to do something with Sony, with one of their artists, and seeing the related video from Lauren got me thinking this could be a lot more interesting. It was this young girl who had a following of how to get a makeup look. And long story short, we contacted her, flew her out to New York, and created a makeup line for her, which ended up on the front page of the New York Times style section and in Sephora around the US. She got a global book deal, which we organized, and ended up as a columnist for The Guardian, met the Queen of England and the founder of YouTube, and a law described her as the most influential woman in beauty. So that was a huge segue from working on other people's brands. And then having done that for quite a few years, and then working in social media marketing with big content providers like Netflix and Amazon's and HBO's of this world, I ended up here at Fiverr, which is fantastic. So that's a kind of a rather rambling intro. Does that cover what you wanted?
It's amazing. So I need to know, why Fiverr? Why should we know about Fiverr right now? Why should we be thinking about Fiverr as advertisers?
Well, I think the world was changing pretty quickly before the pandemic, and the future of work and how we go about work and think about work has been changing pretty rapidly through that arc of my career. And why Fiverr is really, we exist to change how the world works together. And the way in which we do that is through this platform of digital services, with really the everything store for digital services for anything that you could particularly want. And what we've seen during the pandemic is really several years of growth in each sort of 6 month cycle that we've been in this wretched situation. And it is a wretched situation, and I can't wait for it to be resolved in some way, shape, or form. But we are one of those businesses that it's really accelerated our ability to tell our story, because it's a combination of remote work, being able to tap into talent and access talent as and when you need it. So agility, geography, and place are removed. And funnily enough, I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about the quantum physics of the lockdown, and he was saying the only thing that really changed was place, and that time and everything else remains the same. And I guess at the heart of what Fiverr is about is removing that place element. So when I was lucky enough to work at Gray, you had to be living in that country, part of this ability to be interviewed by Gray in London at Great Portland Street and have a resume that would fit with what they were looking for. And I think that what our company has tapped into is a way of the world thinking about how work takes place 24/7, regardless of geography, and an access to talent that isn't just governed by, in the way that the industry was structured when I joined it, you had a flag, as it were, of here's our agency office in New York, in London, in Paris, in Australia, in Germany, and here's this client, Coca-Cola or Nike, whomever, or Procter & Gamble, who happen to have offices in those same places, so we build our business around them. And that's just no longer the way the world works. Those companies obviously still exist and need marketing, and they need help with marketing. And we exist to help people access that talent in different ways. So it's a super exciting time. I think the combination of how work looks for people right now, both for someone selling their services and someone buying their services, is very different to when I started my career. And I think that the whole notion around how we go about accessing talent is very, very different. And I think most people would agree that the ability to access things in a timely manner and set the pricing of whatever suits you as the buyer or the seller is working extremely well.
It's amazing. There was an agency here in Vancouver called 123 West, that made news in ways because they were the first to say, you know, we're not going to have any staff. We're going to structure ourselves like a, you know, a movie production studio. And every time we have project work or work, we're going to hire up for that project. And then, but really it was three creative directors that created this agency. And so if you think of it, when you owned your agency, how do you see Fiverr fitting in today in that kind of economy?
Well, it's kind of different for me now because I don't work in the advertising industry, you know. So what I can say, which I probably wouldn't say if I still worked in it, is when agencies pitch, quite often, not all the time, but quite often, there is an element within that team of bright, smart, young people who don't actually work for the agency. They are freelancers, and the either written agreement, verbal agreement, nod, wink, whatever is, you know, come on board, be part of our team. And if we're successful, you might come and work with us, or you might carry on as a freelancer, depending on what you want to do. And, you know, in my career, I did that many, many, many times. And I could think of various people, some who chose to be part of the company and some who chose to carry on being a freelancer and working with the company. So I think it's something that agencies have always done. I think it's something that any smart agency, they might prefer publicly not to say that. And I suspect the bigger the agency is, the less likely they probably know how much of their talent pool is employed and not. And I think that there's historically been a weirdness around that, that it's awkward. And I think going back to what I was saying about how the world's changing and how we're changing how the world works together, that I think increasingly that's an artificial distinction that becomes irrelevant. It's how good are the people that you're getting access to, and are they meeting and exceeding your needs? So when I was lucky enough to start my own agency, we exceeded the needs and were better and won stuff. And some of the people we employed, some of them we paid freelance. It doesn't matter.
One other fun note about 123 West, when they launched, their entire website was built using Fiverr videos. So using video, every page you went to was a different video or art piece by someone from Fiverr, just showing the diversity.
We have thousands and thousands of case studies where, you know, people are using our platform to build things. And it's fantastic to see. And then I think the awkwardness becomes, and if there is any awkwardness, I think in the future there won't be any awkwardness, becomes around people feeling uncomfortable about saying, well, I used something else to do this, therefore, what does it mean about my business? As long as your business is providing the services that you say it is, who cares? You know, if you look at our smartphones, I just recently got the Google Pixel 6. Most people in the ad industry tend to have that Apple product, you know, designed in Cupertino. They're made in China, you know, but that's not a problem. It's funny how we're able to overcome somehow physically buying, like the guitar behind me is an American Legend. It's not made in America. Who cares? It's the Gibson guitar. And somehow I think with services, we've got ourselves wrapped up in a nonsensical kind of distinction.
So years ago, when Fiverr was maybe earlier stages, I remember buying for $5, because I remember discovering this website and like, this is amazing. I remember buying a pirate sign made on wood with my son's name on it. And it got delivered for $5. It had a Cayman's room and a big pirate sign. And then I got for my in-laws a letter that was postmarked from England, you know, from the Queen. Like it was a fake letter from the Queen, but it was someone sent it from the UK to my in-laws, like a nice letter to them. Like it was just, and they loved it. They thought it was so funny and so cool. But it was on Fiverr where I got this service.
Well, I mean, we've, you know, since then we've evolved enormously from being that kind of marketplace to a serious marketplace where, you know, a lot of people are getting things like SEO done, websites, logos. Just in the last few months, we've seen a gigantic increase in people accessing things like NFT design. there's no end to what you can get on Fiverr. We have a whole category or vertical, we call it, around architecture. So, you know, with architecture, 3D renderings and planning and so on and so forth.
Motion graphics. We often, someone asked me to, you know, for us to quote on it. It's so hard for us to do it here, but ourselves, but we often send people to Fiverr because those intro videos and outro videos, Fiverr's amazing for that.
Yeah, I think the journey we're on as a company, as a brand, is not dissimilar to the journey that Airbnb were on when they were Airbed and Breakfast. And those were the words in their name. They had a pink and blue logo, and then they evolved to being something which I think most people recognize as an alternative form of accessing travel and a place to stay. And even at this point in time, especially with the pandemic, I think it's almost like a verb, a descriptor of a way of traveling rather than a price-based alternative. And I think that we've through the pandemic evolved from being seen as a price driven thing, given the name, to through our rebranding and doing Super Bowl ads and using different forms of the marketing mix, to being a really reliable and quality alternative to getting most tasks done.
I've heard in a few meetings in the last few months leading up to this call, people saying, well, you could just Fiverr it. It's now a term. We could Fiverr it. And I caught note of it, and it was quite significant. And then if you log in, recently I went to go check it out and try out some of the services there. You have your own business launch pad now. There's an entire section just for businesses to manage projects within the dashboard system. It's incredible.
Yeah. We've definitely come a long way, and we're seeing a lot of change, and the growth in terms of the numbers of businesses using our services is phenomenal. I mean, we have so many businesses who we've helped during the pandemic go from not having any online presence and being able to operate and do e-commerce and be able to sell things. We had a furniture company called Patina & Co. down in Nashville, a company called Slim & Huskies, Greener Roots, who are a hydroponic farm, who needed to use our services in order to tell their story and stay in touch with customers who normally would be visiting each of those businesses. And, you know, quite often we're finding companies like that and helping them and using that as part of our marketing. But unlike a lot of brands, our marketing is really showing how using Fiverr can help transform your business.
It's incredible. Now, what would be your encouragement to agencies that hear this and say, okay, either, you know, I'm assuming not to go on there and be a service provider, but how you can go on there, maybe just as a first test, what would you say is like, why don't you try this out for the first time on Fiverr and let us show you how great we are now?
I mean, it's tricky, isn't it, with agencies, because it covers such a broad range of types of agencies and services that they might give. But I mean, for example, we have a lot of services around logo design and branding and website. I mean, just trying some of those things, or the other way of thinking about it, often I find people as a first port of call in agencies use things like editing and people helping to do voiceovers for pictures and things like that. I mean, we've got over 500 services, so I don't think there's one that's the service that you'll see that Fiverr is right for you. It's a matter of where an agency needs more help and more support. But I think as time goes on, what we'll see that I was alluding to a minute ago is that there will be more of a balance between it being acceptable and normal to be using a pool of freelance talent to support what you already have in-house. You know, it's extremely expensive to keep lots of people on staff in the hope that somebody comes along who needs a lot of motion design. Why not try motion design on Fiverr? And, you know, if you put in motion design, you'll just get thousands and thousands of different people at different price points. And
yeah,
what we see a lot of people doing is testing, you know, sellers at different price points to give them a sense of what you can get. I mean, we've even got a tool called Logo Maker where you can go on and just for free, just put in put in your logo, so put in Marketing Canada, and it will spew out lots of different ways of thinking about how you do your branding, depending upon the words you use to describe it. So using a combination of creativity and AI. I mean, there's so many ways to dip your toe in the water with what we do.
It's incredible. I know there was a group in Calgary called Communo that tried to do it where, you know, you go to Communo and it's a bunch of freelancers, but to get access to it, you needed to pay a fee to access this group of freelancers. And then the freelancers themselves, you know, it was a bigger chore to be a part of, where if you look on Fiverr, you know, most things aren't $5. Most things are pretty significant work. So for freelancers, A, there's tons on there now. And right in here in Canada, tons of freelancers I found there, or I reached out to a freelancer and they said, hey, do it through Fiverr and then give me a great review. Because that's the other thing I love about Fiverr is that when you look on there, when I did kind of a scan and a test, the amount of reviews and feedback. And then if you do buy a job, Fiverr follows up like 4 or 5 times to be like, was it good? Was it on time? Are you happy with this? If you're not, you know, we'll take care of you. We'll make sure that you're satisfied, which is pretty impressive. And that's, again, why people love Amazon, where it's like, we're going to make sure that it was shipped and delivered. And it's so simple. Whereas Fiverr, I felt like there was that accountability and that support when I went on there to try out a few freelancers.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that you make, which is that what we're doing is making it easier, making it more agile, making it more affordable, and giving access to talent. But the community part of it, which I think both Amazon and back in the day, eBay, really brought to life, which is community members holding each other accountable for quality, so that you can go to seller A and say to yourself, well, this person's done this many transactions and has this many reviews, I feel good. Which is, you know, part of where the world is at now, that we can now see more transparently what most people think. Now, there are certain sites, I think, where it does attract a slightly fringe element. So I'm thinking particularly Yelp, that a lot of Yelp reviews, in my experience, tend to be pretty extreme. And especially as we know right now, that industry, the restaurant hospitality industry, is going through some real pains of being able to provide the right staff. And there's definitely a group of people in the world who take great glee in writing about how long they had to wait or how difficult something was. But that notwithstanding, I think the community element on our platform is a super important part of giving a transparent understanding of what your expectations might be, both as a buyer and also as a seller. If you're a great seller, you're going to get great reviews and you'll get more business. It's no different to when I was setting up agencies and the trade press and word of mouth, but bringing it together. And we have so many community events throughout the year, both at a local level, national level, international level, conferences, to help educate, to inform, to share best practices, talk about difficulties, so, you know, we can learn and adapt in our customer service and our attention to making sure that both the buyer and the seller are getting the right experience.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So those that are listening thinking, man, I want to hire a Canadian, I want to support people in my country, can you go into Fiverr and kind of filter? I want to work with Canadian freelancers only.
Yeah, you can filter in any way you want. And when we look at the data, there are certain countries where people tend to look for sellers that are of the same nationality from the same part of the world, and other countries where people tend to do different. I think it depends on the type of business you are and at what stage you're at. But yeah, I mean, there are a group of people who prefer to do that, and others who prefer just to search. I mean, my personal view is, I think it's better probably to access talent, the best talent that you can get for your budget, without restricting it. But if you do want to just look at, you know, say people in New York or people in Montreal, you can do that.
That's really cool. Maybe tell me a story about someone that's used Fiverr, and maybe kind of a neat story, or how are you, you know, some trends you're seeing with people using it these days.
Wow, I'm trying to think where to begin. I mean, there are many case studies we could talk about, big and small, and from all sorts of parts of the world. But there's one particular that springs to my mind from Philadelphia, which is a garden center and landscaping business called Four Seasons Total Landscaping, who sprang to fame when they were used as a venue for a press event. It really did transform their business. They went from overnight to being just a local business that only people in the locality knew about, to being national and international fame. And we collaborated with them to help them with their business and to transform their business, because what ultimately happened to them is people became as much interested in their merchandise as they did in getting your landscaping gardening done. So we helped them design a range of apparel. We helped them with their website, their e-commerce, and their social media marketing strategies. And we also put them in a Super Bowl ad, because it seemed like the perfect example of transforming a small business that was put into the limelight, almost the encapsulation of the American dream. You have a moment of fame, as Andy Warhol once said, capitalize on that moment of fame. So we had Marie Serravo, who's the owner and founder of the business, was the star of our ad. But we also helped them refine all aspects of how they marketed themselves on the platform. And we can put a link if you like. We did a little video case study with her and her son and one of our other business partners talking about how we help transform their business. And the bit that most people saw was the hilarious Super Bowl ad, where she was driving around in a kind of futuristic Tesla in this Willy Wonka world, where this transformation had taken place behind the famous roller door where the press conference was. And in reality, we did do some fantastic stuff for her, but being the Super Bowl, we just did it in a very hyperbolic and funny way.
That's awesome. That's so great. And riddle me this, how do you, as the marketing director, decide to do Super Bowl? What's that moment in kind of in the decision-making process where you're like, we're doing it, we're pulling that trigger, we're joining the Super Bowl kind of, what do you call it, alumni association?
The funny thing is, we've been talking about it for quite a while before we pulled the trigger. So we discussed it 2 years before, a year before, and it was on our mind as a way of accelerating engagement. And then I think the unusualness of the first period of lockdown, and with our business growing at the rate it was growing, it seemed like the sensible thing to bring forward our plans. I think without the lockdown, we probably would have done it a little later. What we ultimately decided to do was jump right in. And it was a huge decision. And I think given that we'd already discussed it and thought about it, it made it a little bit easier. But as anyone listening will know, your first time Super Bowl is quite a big deal. It's a lot of money. It's a very short moment of time. You want to make sure people see it, remember it, remember it's for you, and create, especially in the world we live in now versus 10, 20 years ago, that whilst it is the Super Bowl, a lot of the conversation is before, during, and after. And we were very fortunate in that we thought about it very hard. We took a huge risk in the cultural moment that we lent into. It was the number one cultural moment on Twitter for that year. And we on the night and following it were trending on YouTube for 2 weeks after in the top 10 most trending videos of all videos on YouTube. So yeah, it was quite something. If you'd have asked me a year ago, I might not be quite as chill as I am now.
That's but, awesome.
It was really, really quite something for us to do as the first time. And a number of other companies did it for the first time too. I don't want to name names because I think some people did a great job, others less so. I think when you do the Super Bowl, you really, really do need to think through how is the conversation going to continue. So I don't know if you saw, we did a whole social media campaign on Twitter congratulating other Super Bowl advertisers, but deliberately getting the businesses slightly wrong in the manner that the Four Seasons Total Landscaping thing happened. So it took a while. People were responding saying, what's going on with Fiverr? And then when people got it, a lot of people started joining in, and we planned it out. We knew who was going to be advertising. We were able to get quite a significant conversation going around congratulations to this business for being in the Super Bowl, when really it was a much smaller local business.
That's awesome. And I mean, maybe you can't disclose, but I'm in the same way you say, advertisers, you don't always say who your full team is, but I'm curious how much of Fiverr's marketing work, execution work, is done by freelancers on Fiverr?
A lot of it. A lot of what you saw in that Super Bowl ad, almost everything related to their business and to our business was created on Fiverr. We just did a brand campaign where everything we created, the Something to Nothing campaign, was all done on Fiverr. It's a hugely important part of what we do to make sure that we're celebrating the talent that we have in the right way, and using it every time we're doing some marketing to showcase the quality of what you can get.
I had a friend who's got a place up in Whistler, which is a couple hours from where we are right now. And I said, man, can I, crash in your basement suite? Can I rent it for a few days? And he goes, oh no, just go through Airbnb. I just send everyone through Airbnb. And, mm-hmm. and part of it, he also loves it because there's like insurance with it. There's accountability. There's not like an awkward friendship thing where, okay, I'll pay you and here's an invoice. Mm-hmm. It's all done through this site. And so I'm seeing that with Fiverr, where even though he could rent directly to me and freelancers could go direct, there's something significant and accountable and professional and helpful with the Fiverr platform. Yeah. To the point where you go on there, it's not just guy who does axe juggling and axe juggling videos, which again, were great videos and are great videos you can get done on Fiverr. You can pay a guy and he'll give a message to anyone, whatever, juggling axes.
Well, that's much more a very minor part of our platform these days. The major part of our platform is, really helping businesses with solid professional services that help transform them and help present them in a really engaging and interesting way.
It's amazing. Do you have, do you remember back in the day there was like an Ask Jeeves? And at one point, I'm going to age myself, there was a little paperclip and at one point a wizard that would walk people through web experiences. Have you got that for Fiverr? If, say, a small business doesn't want to go with maybe like an established, Yellow Pages or another group, but they can go to Fiverr and it'll be like, hey, here's the three things you need for your website. A little paperclip, Clippy walks them through it.
We have a similar thing. We have a how Fiverr works. And then within Fiverr Business, we have ways of helping you and your team align around how can you coordinate and share ideas and talk to each other and project manage and share the experience. So yeah, we use a lot of intuitive tools on the site to keep people engaged and educated. And for those businesses that want it, we have dedicated people who help you find the right people and find the people that are suited to your business, depending on the scale of the task and the nature of what people want. We've really kind of tailored it to all sizes of businesses. So, we have some really huge businesses and some medium-sized businesses and smaller businesses, but increasingly it's the business services of getting right talent versus the kind of the funnier things. Just as Airbnb was a place to crash, you can now get $50,000 a night places to stay on Airbnb, and you can even stay in the Sex and the City apartment, or you can stay in, you name it,
Home Alone house. Yeah. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's amazing. So what's fun about pockets around the world, New York and Vancouver, Montreal, there's something about Israel. We've recently had on Wix on our show and Monday.com on our show, both coming out of, you know, this incredible country. And it's incredible that Fiverr as well. There's something about Israel that births these incredible companies. It's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I think there is something amazing about Israel right now, or there always has been, but it's really come to the fore in the last decade or so of this kind of tech kind of startup nation. There's even, you know, a Tour de France team named after it, that there is a insatiable desire on the part of this Israel nation and Israelis to really push harder and further and think in really creative ways about how technology can help mankind. And it sounds a little profound as I say those words, but I've met with a lot of Israeli startups in my role outside of Fiverr. And I'm always blown away by the ingenuity of the ideas that these businesses have and the ability to take small ideas and turn them into really big things and successful things. And I think it's a combination of taking risks, being willing to get things wrong and learn from them. And if you read 100 American business textbooks, they'll all say that. But if you work in 100 American businesses, they'll want to focus on who got it wrong, why did they get it wrong, and let's get to the problem so that never happens again. Not what do we learn from that? And I think there's something in the Israeli spirit which is celebrates that. It's in the DNA of experimentation, pushing, challenging, making a mistake and saying, that's okay. How do we become better? And I think that of all the companies I've worked with and collaborated with since I've been doing this job, and prior to the pandemic, I spent a lot of time in Tel Aviv, is there's that same flavor that runs through the companies you mentioned, like Wix and Monday and many, many others, of being proud of experimenting and also sharing openly the things that you're doing and the things that are working well and the things that are working less well. And I think certainly from the part of the world I come from in the past, I think historically Britain was like that. And I'm sure America has been like that. But I think that Israel is at the cutting edge of being able to really cut through the crap and say, is this good? Is this bad? Does that work? Let's try it. And there's very little posturing. There's very little salesmanship. It's very much in, is this a good idea? Let's try it. Does it work? No, move on.
That's awesome. So Duncan, I want to get your advice. Books. What are, the age old thing, whether it's Kindle or Kobo or whatever, however you read or consume your books. Is there any books that you'd say, man, if you're in advertising marketing, this is a book you got to read?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of reading this right now in the physical form.
Amazon Unbound.
Amazon Unbound, which is funny because I bought it on Amazon. It was delivered on Amazon. And I'm sure that the people at Amazon are not too pleased with all of the content in it because it's not all completely kind. But this guy, Brad Stone, who's written it, it's fantastic. It's very up to date, very recent, and it gives you an insight into where companies like Amazon are going, how they think. I also read a really good book, or I'm almost finished, God, Human, Animal, Machine, which is an analysis of comparing the effect of religion in the Middle Ages with the effect of technology and artificial intelligence right now. Hugely thought-provoking. Makes your brain hurt thinking about it. Those are two that I really, really, really enjoyed. But I also do read a lot about music as well. So if anyone's into Thelonious Monk, the book on Thelonious Monk is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. By Robin Kelly. But that's slightly off topic for your podcast.
No, that's great. Are you a Spotify subscriber yourself?
I was one of the original Spotify subscribers, nice. But I then I've tried every music service, and I collect records. So I do less digital music. Right now I'm using YouTube Music, which was Google Music. And one of the advantages I think it has over others is there's all of the music that's been approved by the record companies, as it were. And then there's a lot of music that hasn't been released that's only available on vinyl or tape. And there's always someone in the world who's willing to video them playing it and then upload it. So it gives you access to all of that too. So I like that.
No, it's great. I was on YouTube. I loved Google Music and then now YouTube Music. The problem is I got to figure out a way my kids have a shared account. And so it's always suggesting to me inappropriate songs like Baby Shark and other songs that are not my liking. But yes, I do need to, you know, somehow filter my life properly to
Need to accept that you're a Miley Cyrus fan.
It's true. It's so true. All right. I'll admit it. As far as kind of trends that you're looking forward to in 2022, you know, this will be going live within the week. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Or what are you excited about? And I don't want you, maybe you don't want to disclose too much, but maybe if you could put your kind of finger on the pulse or look in some sort of magic ball that doesn't really exist, but what would you say you're looking forward to this year?
I mean, I think the way the world has changed and is changing in terms of the different types of media is fascinating. So the emergence of things like TikTok, there are a few other adjacent types of media, which you're right, I don't want to mention what they are because people will go and copy them. Influencer marketing, I think, you know, we started this conversation talking about when I work within the influencer space. And I think it's pretty clear that the power of influencers is enormous. Yes. And when you get it right, it can be enormously rewarding. So we have a lot of people doing influencer videos about Fiverr, which are just happening. So, you know, I hired these people on Fiverr and people make a video and then millions and millions of views. And then we also partner with influencers ourselves, and we're always experimenting and refining and trying to hone the right approach, the balance between the connection between the audience and the influencer, and what they say about us in a very truthful way. It's almost like word of mouth accelerated. And word of mouth obviously is the best kind of marketing you can get. If everyone in the world just told everybody to use Fiverr, then we could pack up and go home. But that's not the case. It's still, you know, an emerging category, an emerging brand, and increasing our awareness. So those are some of the trends that I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of action around podcasts, which we're on right now. We have our own podcast, and we've played with marketing on podcasts. I think podcasts have become a gigantic part of how people educate and inform themselves. I think the challenge with podcasts, like with influencer marketing, is not all podcasts and influencers are created equal.
Yeah. Duncan, thank you for being here.
My absolute on the show this pleasure. Week. Thank you for having me. Some great questions. I hope it was informative for your audience, and I can't wait to see the finished product.
No, it's great. Appreciate it. Thank you for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. Be sure to check the links both on the audio and video show notes for more information about Fiverr, how you can get started, how you can try out some of the incredible freelancers.
And in the link and comments below, there's a promo code which encourages you to go and experiment and try with Fiverr and see how it can help transform your business.
Yeah, and I think my challenge with that, use the promo code if you're cautiously optimistic about using Fiverr. It's been a while since you went on the site. Check out the new dashboard. But I think, like the old saying, the shoemaker's shoes, right? Or the shoemaker's son's shoes, or the mechanic's car is always broken. Use that credit. Use that for your own agency. Try something out on your own agency. Experiment, try it, and then see what it can do for your own agency and then what it could possibly do for your clients.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.